Shoftim Perek Yud Ches Pasuk Chaf. So the men of Dan have come on their way to Laish and stopped off at the house of Micha, and they have taken his pesel, his trophim, his ephod, his masecha, everything that makes Beis Micha a special stopover on the interstate, a rest area on the Palisades. They've taken it all, and now they're talking to the Kohen, this Na'ar Halevi, and they have talked him into coming with them to be the father and leader of an entire tribe and their high priest, rather than to stay with one small, unknown family. They are abusing Micha's hospitality to the greatest extreme. Pasachot vayitav leva kohen. And the heart of the priest, and again, that's sort of a statement that he considers himself a kohen as he's thinking about himself. He's really, his ego is in overdrive. And so his heart, it becomes very good and very happy. And he took the ephod and the trophim and the pesel micha. And he came into the midst of the people, of this mass of people who are leaving. And in this case, I don't think it means that he took them from where they had been in the little shrine. It means he put on the ephod and he took the trophim as the symbols of his office. And he went into the middle of the crowd. Now, most people say that he did this willingly, so that way nobody can ever get a hold of him. He's in the middle of a group of 600 armed men. He has nothing to worry about. Some say the Me'am Lois brings down that he was putting on fake reluctance. And by being in the middle of them, it's going to seem to Micha and his household that he's being forced. He is surrounded by armed men. And it's against his will that he's going. He really doesn't want to go. But the Nach told us, Vayitav Leva Kohen. So we know truly it did. A third interpretation is that they didn't trust him completely. So they surrounded him so he couldn't have a change of heart and go back to his old boss. And so they've got what they came for. Chavalef. And they never even stopped by to talk to Micha himself. They just came, did a lightning raid, and out they go. Vayifnu Vayelechu. So they turned and they left. And now, because they're a little concerned about any pursuit, they took all of the family members that we mentioned earlier, they brought with them, and they put the small children and their flocks and hakivuda, their baggage, kivuda, that which was covered, that which is heavy, all of the supplies. Everything they put in front of them. They're living almost like nomads, traveling from place to place. They are not conducting themselves or as an ordinary settled people would, where you send the army forth to battle and everybody else stays home. They're just going with everybody together, which shows that they had never truly inherited their chelek. They had never really lived like settled people before. So everything is with them. And they put it all in front so that they are going to be in the back in case anybody comes after them for basically stealing Pesel Micha and running off with it. Chav Beis, Hema Herchiku Mi Beis Micha. And so they had come some distance far, Rachok, from Beis Micha. V'on Hashem Asher Babotem Asher in Beis Micha Nizaku. And the people who lived in the bungalow colony, the houses which were gathered there with Beis Micha, as it became a famous place, as motels and diners went up around the Pesel Micha, so there were a number of settlers who lived right there in the complex, and those who lived there, Nizaku, they started, it could mean to shout, but usually that means to roust the troops, to rally the soldiers. So they suddenly started to organize, Vayad Biku Es B'nei Dan. And they caught up with the B'nei Dan, who we just said a moment ago had small children and families and heavy stuff with them. So that was slowing their journey through Har Ephraim. And so now, the people of the Micha household are outraged. How dare you? You took our pesel, our claim to fame. Chav Gimel Bayikru Uvenei El B'nei Dan. And so they immediately called out to the B'nei Dan. They started hollering at them. But Vayasebu Pinehem, the B'nei Dan turned their heads away as if they didn't hear them. So that's really giving them the cold shoulder. They just ignored them. Vayomru L'micha Malacha Ki Nizakta. And so the B'nai Dan, when they finally did respond, they turned their faces. They said to Micha, what's the matter with you that you have rallied your troops, that you have gotten all your guys together? We have no idea why you are chasing us. So they're behaving all innocent. Here we are. We're just marching along the road. Why are you harassing us? Chavdalad, so Micha gives them his best argument. Vayomer, es Elohai asher osisi lekachtem. You have taken my God that I made. No more illusions anymore about these being intermediaries to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He calls them Elohai. You have taken my gods that I have made. And that's a true indictment of our man Micha over here. You took my gods away. Some Avodah Zarah, as Avraham Avinu showed back in the day, way back when, Avodah Zarah that can't even protect itself, that can't see, that can't do anything to defend itself. You took my gods. You know, the traditional aggrieved guy who just got mugged by a large gang. And I made them. That's a Kohen. And you took the priest. The priest who's not a priest. Vatelchu. And away you went. Umali Od. What do I have left besides it? What do I have left? Which is kind of a pathetic thing to say, because it sounds like you're not coming from a position of strength. You didn't leave me anything. I have nothing. Umaze tomru elai, maloch. And what do you mean when you say to me, maloch, what's the matter with you? So it's really kind of pouty. He is not really being able to give a strong response, and the B'nai Dan are not going to